time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
This third line is hilarious. Welcome to Vanessa and Gallant. We're rolling along on a Wednesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant.
What's up?
I am at Sports Vanessa. You can get at him at Gallant Says. Feel free to send all of your complaints to him.
Why me?
And not me.
What did I do? I come in here. Lance tells me something. I'm thinking now because I'm someone who overthinks everything.
You do.
You know, we're not going to talk about that. I don't really want to dive into it, but...
I just feel like you can handle it more.
I guess.
No, actually, you can't.
I mean, I've been on a struggle bus for like 3 days. Once again, I'm wearing a hat. Didn't shower, probably.
Means he didn't.
No comment on the matter. And once again, long sleeve t-shirt and athletic pants.
Paul is 30-something and went to Chicago this past weekend to celebrate his Irish ancestry for St. Patrick's Day and has not recovered.
It was important for me to celebrate my heritage. You're right. Thank you. And I have not recovered.
Also, he is.
That is definitely.
You know,
true.
I'm part Irish too.
Oh, and Irish eyes are smiling. And the world is feeling gay.
That's
a real song.
Deshaun Watson.
Not
what
Irish.
A situation this is. Not Irish. What a situation this has been. And we've seen some developments within the last 2 days just about the timeline, the certain teams that are interested in him. This is where it sits as of now, per Adam Schefter, Diana Russini, and Aaron Wilson. Saints and Panthers, that was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Browns yesterday, and then today he is set to meet with the Falcons. Now, for about a day, we knew he wanted to meet with the Falcons, but we didn't know what time. Apparently, that is today. So, per Aaron Wilson, Texans aren't going to grant permission for any team to meet with Deshaun unless they've submitted a trade proposal. That's so time isn't wasted in case Watson waives his no-trade clause. Saints, Panthers, Browns have all made trade proposals per sources. So basically what this is like Nick Caserio, and I commend him for this, saying like, there's no need for you to meet with Deshaun if I don't like what you bring to the table.
It's relieving.
Yeah.
I think it means that there's a better chance that the Texans actually get the kind of haul that we've all been hoping for. They have been steadfast about, we want 3 first round picks. I don't know how likely that necessarily is, in addition to more picks and some real players, some real contributors, that they have not done the Houston Rockets. We'll just take whatever you give us because we want to make sure that the next star who comes here, which may never happen, thinks that it's cool, it's neat here, it's good. But I'm curious as to what's going to happen here, and I'm also curious about this sort of dynamic, Vanessa. Okay, so there are multiple teams that we have found out have trade proposals in order with the Texans. There are also, I would imagine, multiple teams that Deshaun Watson wants to play for. All of these teams, I'm assuming he would waive his no-trade clause to play for. But there's got to be a part of him where maybe he has extra leverage on top of this. So one of these proposals, maybe Nick Caserio likes it the most, but Deshaun Watson has cold feet at the end of it. I doubt that there's anything in writing that would prevent Deshaun Watson from potentially thinking, oh, well, the Panthers gave the best offer. Oh, well, Matt Rhule wears a smock and he's going to get fired soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's how it develops. There's going to be a lot that has to come into place, right? Because not only does Nick Caserio have to like what the team is giving him, but Deshaun has to like it enough to waive the no-trade clause. And, of course, the team has to provide. What we're seeing is the opposite of what some people reported. Some people reported that there was going to be almost a scarcity mindset, that there wasn't going to be teams. You know, there weren't going to be teams that were clamoring for Deshaun Watson. And what we're seeing is that that's not the case. Ian Rappaport on NFL Network had an interesting soundbite and an interesting report about some of the details and then who the front runner is for Deshaun Watson.
The Saints and the Panthers have offers in on Deshaun Watson. Both those offers, as Tom and I have detailed, more than 3 first-round picks, more than 3 first-round picks plus more. There also is interest from the Browns, who have a meeting with him today. That flight is, I believe, taking off now and headed to Houston. The Browns brass is on it. The Atlanta Falcons also would like to meet with Deshaun Watson. If that is all firm and final, that should be tomorrow. it feels, guys, like the Saints are in a very good position here. That is what it feels like. Just taking the temperature of all things, not saying anything is firm and final, but it seems like based on everything they have to offer, the Saints are maybe in the driver's seat here.
So this is fascinating because I would not think of the Saints as being in the driver's seat.
No.
And the fact that Ian Rappaport said the driver's seat, it's like it's worded in a way that he's not outright saying they're the favorite, but that they have, you know, maybe the most leverage. It's weird. I mean, this is not your mama Saints team. This is no Sean Payton.
No, this isn't even your big brother's Saints team.
Right.
This is a Saints team that I would not want to play for if I were in Deshaun Watson's shoes. I mean, your best wide receiver, Michael Thomas, who the hell knows what's going on with him?
Right.
You know, and that's just one part of an equation of salary cap fitting everything underneath it that I don't know how the Saints do it every single year. I doubt that they're going to have a lot of cash. I would imagine that any potential Deshaun Watson extension, which I'm assuming he would want, even though he just got one, would need cap space to make that happen unless the Saints plan on firing more people. I guess, Vanessa, when I hear that the Saints are the front runner, that must mean that that's where Deshaun wants to go of all four of these teams, though. I just don't see the Saints compared to the Falcons in particular having the best offer available to the Texans. This must be from Watson's perspective.
I completely agree. Somebody from Twitch said Sean Payton would return. No, I mean, if he returned, I think he'd be to Dallas.
Yeah, he's just waiting for Mike McCarthy to get fired. And that, honestly, that looks like that is a chance of happening. It's pretty funny that they committed to Randy Gregory and Randy Gregory was like, nah, even though he's played half of the games in his career in Dallas.
Sean Payton genuinely wanted to see where broadcasting could go, but we haven't heard anything yet. And the dominoes are starting to fall, right? Troy Aikman and Joe Buck at Fox. And, you know,
yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. But
they're over to ESPN now. I can't believe that Joe Buck's on ESPN. Isn't that weird?
Weird.
It's very strange. In fact, I don't want it. I want this trade to be annulled and canceled by, I guess, God, who has power to do that. I'm not sure. I don't want Joe Buck not on Fox. I don't want some other rando doing the World Series.
The World Series, yes. For football, I'm friends with Kevin Burkhardt, so we stay on Kevin
but
Burkhardt.
But what if Kevin Burkhardt doesn't get promoted to the top?
I think he will.
What if, like, Al Michaels all of a sudden ends up at Fox?
That would be crazy, and I think he'll be at Amazon. But,
okay.
Sean Payton played as Kevin James. I didn't see that movie, and I can't bring
Sean Payton is actually really, he wants to become an actor, because he saw Kevin James play him, and he was like, why is this, no offense to Kevin James, but rather slob of a person playing me in a movie.
That was a weird choice.
Yes.
You know when I knew I couldn't see the movie when the woman was like, Sean, Mr. Payton, you have a message from Roger Goodell?
Oh, that
and
looks
I was
awful.
Like,
I was out immediately. That,
yeah. I'm like, that's just not, you have one woman speaking in the entire movie trailer and she doesn't know how to pronounce Roger Goodell's name.
So
I'm good on that.
So it was sexist, first
and I
off.
Like Sean.
Also, and that was just a terrible joke. Like, this is the first joke that you're going to throw in here? Ha-ha, like three. Only NFL fans are going to get this. Great.
Wow. Josina Anderson, who is now with CBS HQ, tweeted, so many good guys left out there. A few told me they're low-key waiting on Deshaun Watson to make his decision. I believe this. I think that, this is a league where it's all about your quarterback. I mean, you have to have a good quarterback to make anything work. So there may even be some defensive players that are like, you know, if they want to be a part of a championship team. I don't think she's just talking about running backs and wide receivers. I think she's talking about guys in general that want to be on a team that has a chance to contend.
Probably Will Fuller is one of them. Because Will Fuller and Watson were a fantastic duo. And I don't know, maybe it's Tyrann Mathieu who played with Deshaun Watson for a little bit in Houston. I am curious to see who those names will actually end up being. It is funny to see, though, that Deshaun Watson's going to, you know, essentially have the final say over where he goes. And he's also going to be able to bring some guys along with him. I mean, what a punishment. What a punishment. I read that piece, Vanessa, that The Athletic put together, and it was just outlining everything that's basically happened over the entirety of the Deshaun Watson saga. And every now and then it's important to just reread all the fine print, all the details, and just be like, oh yeah, God, gee. You know, because there were some pretty disgusting details in that. I hadn't read them in a really long time. But he's going to end up winning probably by the end of the day, going wherever the hell he wants to go. And it was surprising, you know, playing that Rappaport audio just a little bit ago, that the Saints were at the top. I would like to think that Nick Caserio is not going to look at it from the who's best for Deshaun Watson, but more so from the who's best for him. And the Falcons can give him the best return. And I would try my best to convince Deshaun Watson that the Falcons are the place to go.
And Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, has liked Deshaun Watson. Remember, he's from Georgia and was a ball boy for the Falcons back in the day. And Arthur Blank really liked him in high school. So there are definitely some connections there. And the hometown perspective also works for the Panthers, too, because, of course, Deshaun went to Clemson. So when you look at what is his priority, obviously he's going to want money. He's going to want to go to a good team. But there could be an angle, too, where he wants to be closer to family. We've talked about how cool Atlanta is. That's a city where we could see Deshaun assimilating and really, like, being himself. He always talks about wanting to be legendary and posts about not working from 9 to 5 and being an entrepreneur and all of that. I think that is more of his pace in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think so. I think Atlanta would work very well. And, you know, I think also on top of that, when you just consider the fact that he's going to have to rebuild his image, there's only a couple of places I think it's actually even possible. I don't know that it's possible in anywhere other than Atlanta or in Carolina. Outside of that, when it comes to Watson too, there's another part of me that looks at this whole situation and is thinking, okay, like why is Cleveland in the mix? What is it that Cleveland brings to the table? And we'll talk about it later on in the show, but it's created a little bit of drama up there. And from the sound of things, it doesn't seem like Watson wants to play in a cold weather city at all.
My theory is that Cleveland is being used for leverage.
Okay.
Because I covered the Texans-Browns game back in, I think it was 2020, where the weather was so catastrophically bad that they had to delay the game.
Whoa, really?
And the Texans, I believe, ended up losing that game.
Oh. So it's a house of horrors for Deshaun Watson.
I don't know. I think Cleveland might be in the mix for leverage, but that's just kind of my take on it. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Deshaun Watson also had two depositions for those civil lawsuits. What Tony Busby said about that, plus Laramie Tunsil quoting Leonardo DiCaprio. What? That's coming up.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So apparently a lot of you had strong feelings on the fact that we started talking about Sean Payton, and Paul, of course, mentioned the movie about the bounty where Kevin James played Sean Payton. So we ask you this, and tweet us, text us, Twitch us. Who would play Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, Deshaun Watson, and Cal McNair in a movie?
This is a fantastic question.
If Kevin James played Sean Payton, who would those guys play? I mean, because apparently you can get weird with it.
I would assume so. I feel like if we're just going to stick with the genre of movies that Kevin James tends to find himself in, then are we just picking from all the usual Adam Sandler characters?
Yeah.
So it's like Rob Schneider, right? David Spade, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock as well.
David Spade trying to be like Cal McNair.
He's too lil.
Yeah.
He's a wee fella. Yeah, let's think about this.
Right. As they say.
I think this is a great question, though.
Let's marinate.
So Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio,
and Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, so Tony Busby, who of course is representing the women involved in the civil lawsuits, gave some comments to The Athletic yesterday. And via The Athletic, Tony Busby said, no NFL teams have contacted him or his clients to discuss Watson. Those teams are instead speaking directly to Watson or his lawyer, Rusty Hardin. And then Busby added that the rush to trade for Watson, quote, demonstrates a complete lack of understanding of the civil process. To me, this is like he's saying, y'all don't understand how bad this could be. That's what he's trying to say.
I guess how bad it could look, right?
Right.
And to his point, the first part of that, Vanessa, indicates that I think some of these teams are going into these conversations. If you're asking someone who did something wrong about what they did. They are going to paint whatever happened, even if there are facts available, in a very sunshiny light. They are asking Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden about this. They may as well stick their head in the sand, right? You're not going to get an actual answer or any clarity, and you're not trying to get both sides of the story either. I don't know that Busby is going to, you know, be fair either, and maybe he'd go a little aggressive with it, but honestly, I don't blame him given that he's talking with all of these different clients of his who probably have all told him some pretty horrible stories.
I also wonder where the NFL investigation has been.
From what I read, it sounds like it's going to start now.
So I just thought that it would be going on the entire time.
You would think. I don't know how they work.
But the timing has just been so, so strange.
It has been, and it's always been strange with every single disciplinary matter that they've had.
That's true.
I wonder what the NFL's version of the KGB or CIA or whatever it is that they have is actually like. It seems, though, that they were waiting for any criminal investigation to conclude itself. So I'm assuming this is now where private investigators and all the other folks who we've heard named as people that will be taking a look into this, I'm assuming this is now where they will start. And they're probably also going to start with anything that they see in civil court, because those testimonies are, I would imagine, going to be the building block of where they start looking and what they start thinking, trying to figure out. But there is also a part, Vanessa, where I feel like the NFL in the past, with certain investigations, they don't do them at all.
Yeah, they say it's going to happen, and then it's like, yeah.
Right. I mean, and look about some of the ones that they've prioritized, largely, I think, due to ownership. But the Wells report is one of the stupidest reports that's ever been done. You know, for like, obviously, I'm biased. I'm wearing a Patriots hat right now because Tom Brady was involved in it. But, I mean, they spent millions of dollars to come up.
Talking about Deflategate, right?
Right.
Team Bob Kravitz.
They spent millions of dollars to come up with the conclusion. Because this isn't Bob Kravitz. This is the NFL's investigation.
Yeah. I was his intern when he broke it.
No, I'm sure that you were on the case too. You had your little sleuth monocle.
I had my Starbucks coffee and my lanyard.
Well, of course you had your Starbucks coffee. Come on. The podcast spice latte. But I'm sure that they thought that what they were getting was going to give them something better than more probable than not. That was the bleeping conclusion. And then they suspended Tom Brady because that was something I think they always were going to do.
Ooh, see, I think Tom Brady's the golden child, and I'm glad he got suspended. Wow. But to your point.
No due process from Vanessa.
Yeah, no due process at all.
Send him to jail.
But to your point, like, how is this going to look, regardless of how you feel about Deshaun Watson, how does this look if they suspend Calvin Ridley for a year? And they don't suspend Deshaun Watson at all.
I mean, I
know they're not the same thing.
I get why they suspended Calvin Ridley a year. You know, when we talked about it at first, it is fun to joke about. I mean, it's a parlay. It wasn't a serious bet. I get, though, why they took it so seriously with how many situations are now becoming legal to gamble across the country. And if you have a player that's potentially gambling on the outcome of games, they want to make sure that this never, ever, 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 ever happens again. Because then all of a sudden, if you have people looking at the league and questioning the actual outcome, then are people going to go away from the sport? Will the ever-expanding audience that the NFL seems to have stop expanding at the rapid degree that it is? I think that's why they did it. It still looks bad, though. Because, again, we're talking about two totally different things, and one involves human beings and the other is like, who cares? It's money. You know?
Right. Meanwhile, this was shocking to me.
Shocking.
Shocking.
Gasp.
If you would have told me that Laremy Tunsil was going to be back on the Texans, I would have laughed. He just seemed so out on the franchise. And quite frankly, the franchise seemed almost out on him.
Or like they forgot his existence.
Like they forgot he existed. We would, you know, reporters, we would ask David Culley for a health update, and he would basically say he had no clue what was going on. But Laremy Tunsil makes it official that he's coming back on Twitter by tweeting out the famous Wolf of Wall Street scene where Leonardo DiCaprio is like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
I didn't believe it, leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny the way that he... Look, you're putting out a gif, okay? And maybe you're joking. It's weird, though, tone-wise, because the tone seems completely counter to what you would think Laremy Tunsil's actual feelings about the Texans are right now. Like, he's actually happy? He's happy he's here? What? No. No way. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. And you're actually one of the few players on this team that has value. maybe not as much value as you would want. And I saw in this write-up, I think it was from Pro Football Talk, where maybe the Texans can't actually get as much as they once thought that they could for Laremy Tunsil.
Right.
And they decided, okay, we'll restructure his contract. We'll free up a little bit of cap space for whatever happens next. But, yeah, I'm surprised by this. And I don't know that it's necessarily good. I mean, does Laremy Tunsil help the rebuild out in the short term? I suppose it protects whatever young quarterback you have. But if he wasn't even there last year, I don't know. I've never been the biggest Laremy Tunsil guy.
I think my thing with Laremy Tunsil is that Bill O'Brien gave up so much to get him.
Yes,
and
too
at
much.
The time it was supposed to be a game changer and a franchise changing thing for protection
yep.
for Deshaun Watson, and we just haven't seen that come to fruition. So maybe it's one of those things to where Laremy, you know, they kind of shopped him as much as they could and realized that they weren't going to get what he wanted. He wasn't going to get what he wanted. The Texans weren't going to get what they wanted. So it was like, listen, bud, you can continue with us with excitement and fake enthusiasm, or we can tell people what really happened, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that maybe his attitude has shifted, but I remember I saw him at a World Series game when the Texans were on the road, which is fine. He was, you know, quote unquote hurt, but I just didn't feel like he assimilated with this year's team.
No, not at all. And, you know, if you're trying to tell everybody about your culture and how important it is, you know, to quote one Baker Mayfield, either you're on the train or you're off.
Can't wait to address this the next segment.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Look, it doesn't seem like he wanted to be here. I don't know. I would want to have as many people here that seem to want to be here. And maybe he did. Maybe he really was hurt. You know, because things were so radio silent, there's a good chance that we might be, you know, talking out of our asses about what Laremy Tunsil was actually feeling and what he was actually going through here. So I think it's important to note that, but it just, everything that you see with him, I don't know. I'm kind of perplexed on it. I guess someone on Twitch.tv is Dick Willie. I guess Laremy Tunsil retweeted Deshaun Watson too when he had his tweet after it was found that there were no criminal charges that he was going to face. When you stand on the truth, the Lord will free you. There you go.
Yeah, those two are cool. But yeah, I mean,
so if they're cool, then it stands to reason that Laremy Tunsil doesn't like it here.
Yeah. Oh, I think a lot of the guys don't like it here. I will say this: I think the Texans are at a healthier place than they were in the past. I think the right people are probably doing more of the right jobs. I do think Nick Caserio knows what he's doing, but there are some guys like Justin Reed that even if you bring in a Lovie Smith, even if you are on the up and up, they're just tired of dealing with a losing team with an odd culture, and they want to go somewhere where it's healthier. I think
yes.
Laremy probably wanted that. And I don't think he was able to get his way.
No, definitely not about that.
Meanwhile, Andrew Whitworth retired.
Yeah.
I covered Andrew in Cincinnati. He's one of the nicest guys. Really cute video after the Super Bowl where he told his kids, this is daddy's last game. It was adorable.
The Rams like trading draft picks.
Yep.
I pick up the phone right now, and I know that you don't do it now after you restructure the deal, but I pick up the phone right now from Nick Caserio, and that would be the team that I would call. Okay, the Bengals don't want Laremy Tunsil, as a lot of people on the internet were saying, trade Laremy to Cincinnati. Well, the Rams clearly don't like drafting players, and they just lost Andrew Whitworth, who was playing very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this should be an option for LA, but clearly it isn't anymore because you do a deal like this because you want to keep somebody around.
So Laremy Tunsil back with the Texans for another year. He says he ain't going anywhere. Margot Robbie, so hot in that movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul's going to melt, have some issues over here.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not Margot Robbie. It's Vanessa Richardson. If you own your home, listen to me. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you pay too much for home insurance, but you probably don't shop because it's such a huge hassle. It doesn't have to be a hassle, thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a brand new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message, and you're probably going to save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now and text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. Send that back, and you're going to get your full quote within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are real. Their online rating is almost perfect, and their average customer from last year saved over $870 on home insurance. No one likes to shop for it. It's obnoxious, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only one text away from massive savings. So, one more time, get out your phone, text money to 232323. get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So I put a poll out on Twitter of where you think Deshaun Watson will end up. Make sure you go and vote. It's at Sports Vanessa. Browns, Saints, Panthers. Of course, he meets with the Falcons today. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He is Paul Gallant, at Gallant Says.
Yo.
You can hear us on, of course, 97.5, 92.5. Stream us on Twitch or, of course, on the ESPN app. Some drama in Cleveland.
Understatement, and I understand why it happens, because when your owner decides to fly to Houston to meet with a quarterback who everyone agrees is better than the one he already has, that quarterback is probably, especially if he is someone known for being a tad emotional, known for being quick with his mouth, I would imagine that person is probably going to respond to that. And that's what happened with Baker Mayfield after Jimmy Haslam visited Houston to hang out with Deshaun Watson yesterday.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield not known to hold his tongue. He wrote a long thing on Twitter. I'll save you all of it, but it was basically a goodbye to Cleveland. Cleveland, the past 4 years have been nothing short of truly life-changing. This is not a message with a hidden meaning. This is strictly to thank the city of Cleveland for embracing my family and me. It goes on and on and on. And that will, whatever happens, I just want to say thank you. Cleveland will always be a part of Emily and my story. Sincerely, Baker Reagan Mayfield. Why did he include the middle name? Not 100% sure.
Well, someone might confuse him with another Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Or because maybe Baker is secretly a famous assassin. Because generally we hear assassins by their three names as opposed to their two names.
That's where your mind went. Interesting.
Well, I mean, that's not wrong.
No, it's true.
Right?
There is an element of pettiness to this, and you noticed this, and we both thought it was funny.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, I don't blame him for this at all. I actually think he's kind of a victim in this situation. I don't think he's done anything wrong. He hasn't played well, but I think he's someone who would acknowledge that. And he was playing through an injury last season that, quite honestly, if you have Case Keenum on your roster, then put Case Keenum in. This is not about to turn into a Case Keenum truther segment. I'm just saying, you had the most expensive backup quarterback in the NFL, a guy who has had proven success, and Baker Mayfield clearly was not 100%. And you decided that you were going to roll with Baker Mayfield the rest of the year, and now all of a sudden you want to upgrade your quarterback. Again, this is not me caping for Baker Mayfield. Mayfield needs to be a better quarterback, but I can understand why he would be a little bit salty about it. The dude literally was bleeding for you out on the field.
Speaking of salty, this is something you would do. Would you wait 3 years to make a snide comment back to somebody?
Yes, absolutely.
So Duke Johnson, who Texans fans, of course, are familiar with.
Legend of the Texans.
Yeah, let's rewind. Okay, 2019.
Not David Johnson, Duke Johnson, the other Johnson.
It was then, in 2019, that running back Duke Johnson, who was with the Browns, informed Cleveland that he wanted to be traded. Baker Mayfield was not happy. And he said, quote, back in 2019, Baker did, "You're either on this train or you're not. It's moving," Mayfield said then. "You can get out of the way or you can join us." So let's fast forward to last night. Mayfield, of course, tweeted that out, the big statement, Baker Reagan Mayfield. Duke Johnson tweets one of the GIFs where, like, everything is burning, essentially.
A train crashed.
Yeah, it's a train crash, essentially implying, hey, you said to get on or off the train is now burning. Duke's hilarious. Like, I loved him when I covered him when he
That's
was
funny.
Here in Houston. He's really funny. And snide. And you know, he doesn't say a lot, but when he does, it's pretty funny. So I loved this. This was definitely hashtag team petty.
It was very petty. I would totally do it. But there's a part of me where, okay, Duke Johnson, you're exposing the hypocrisy of a quarterback who plays in a league where if you're not essentially Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, and even with those two, there have been committal issues with the organizations with which they have played. Eventually, this is going to happen. Young players, I don't think 100% realize this, especially when you're someone like Baker Mayfield, who at that point probably thought he had a chance of being one of the league's best quarterbacks. And you know what? In his first couple of seasons in the league, he looked like there was actually a possibility of that actually taking place. But yeah, here we are now. And I mean, Duke Johnson's not on a team right now, is he?
No, that's
I guess you could dunk back on him if you wanted to do that, if you're Baker Mayfield. I'm curious where he ends up. You know, I think there's definitely a chance that he could end up playing for your Indianapolis Colts. I think there's a chance he could end up saying, what, depending on what happens, I imagine, over the next couple of days with, you know, the teams that are supposedly in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, maybe he's part of some sort of a three-team trade to get another first-round pick in the mix or something like that. Maybe he's in Atlanta. But it does feel like he's gone. When you make this move, if you're Jimmy Haslam and you want to have a better quarterback, then you're out. Well, what's the point of going forward with this guy when you know that there's a limit?
And those were the reports, is that regardless of if the Deshaun Watson trade happens with Cleveland, Baker's getting traded. So I think he sees the writing on the wall. I have no doubt that his agent is speaking with Andrew Berry, the GM, and is probably getting told what the deal is. And, you know, I understand why Baker would be salty about that. But at the same time, you got to win more games and step up and be the player that you always said that you would be if you want to impress people and stick around.
No doubt. And look, they just haven't. They were the biggest disappointment in the AFC last year. I don't think it's close. I thought that was a team with a legitimate shot of beating Kansas City and making it to the playoffs. We saw how they looked, with a banged up Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago in the playoffs. Looked like they had a shot. And with the defensive players that they had and with the first half lead that they had on Kansas City in the season opener, I was like, this makes a lot of sense. They've got a great running game. They've got healthy wide receivers now, and they didn't make it happen, and a lot of that's Baker Mayfield.
267 votes so far. 29% say to the Deshaun goes to the Falcons. 28% say the Panthers.
Okay.
27% the Saints, and then 15% the Browns. So
wow,
it's actually
very even.
But Saints, Panthers, and Falcons, people are kind of equally spread on that, but people don't believe he'll go to the Browns. I'm the same way, and it is partially because of the weather, like we had talked about, and just the comfortability of being in Cleveland and where he wants to go.
Look, that is an unforgiving sports town. It's not quite Boston or Philadelphia, but as far as expectations that they want you to meet, and if you don't meet them, they'll be pissed at you. It's one of the more, I think, demanding sports towns that there is. And I really do wonder about that side of it. I mean, you're a guy in Deshaun Watson who would be going to Cleveland with all of this baggage off the field. And imagine you suck on top of that, or you don't play well. Yeah, I think that's one of those places where you're probably not doing so hot. Where if you're going to Atlanta is one of those sports towns that really just sits back and doesn't really care that much unless you're playing really, really well. They're not a hypercritical one.
Yeah, they're not Philly.
No.
They're going to
No, they have lives.
Meanwhile, Ed Werder had some information about Randy Gregory leaving Dallas that you thought was interesting.
Yeah, so Randy Gregory, a guy who has been suspended for like the entirety of his time with the Dallas Cowboys because he likes him some Oski-Woski. There are some injuries, I think, as well along the way. But Randy Gregory, I thought that maybe he decided to not stick with the Dallas Cowboys and pull out of a deal at the last minute because he looked at the Denver Broncos and thought, you know what, they give me a better chance to win a Super Bowl. But apparently, he just didn't want to play for the Dallas Cowboys because of salary forfeiture language. This salary forfeiture language had to do with the fact that, hey, if you don't play games for us, we would like to have some of your money back, which
makes sense.
Right, total sense.
Objectively speaking.
He's played in 50 of 113 games in Dallas. I was listening to John and Lance talk about that this morning. Isn't it crazy to believe that he's still on the Cowboys with all the headlines that you have read about Randy Gregory over the years? I get it. The Cowboys tolerate a lot of crap, but they were still going to bring him back. And he's like, I don't really want to do this. That's very surprising. And I suppose they move on to Von Miller now, but I think part of this is probably what Randy Gregory said, that there's a chance that, hey, he smokes weed and he gets caught, and all of a sudden he's going to be potentially suspended again. But I think there's another part of it where people are looking at the Cowboys and they're like, with a side eye, oh, what happened over these last couple of years? I thought Dak Prescott was great. I thought all of these offensive pieces were great. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Meanwhile, Tyrod Taylor heading to the New York Giants. Good for him. So this leaves us with Davis Mills and Jeff Driscoll, although Jeff Driscoll had played tight end.
I mean, look, good for Tyrod Taylor. Please don't get stabbed in the lung with a needle. I think he has a chance to beat out Daniel Jones. That's for sure. We did play a fun game a little bit earlier where we're trying to cast a theoretical movie. So Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio, and Deshaun Watson. I have one casted character. I've been thinking about this long and hard because I really want to nail the parts. Tom Cruise is Jack Easterby.
Oh.
Tom Cruise is a Scientologist. Tom Cruise is somebody who really, I think, can pull off preaching. I think he is definitely charismatic, energetic, and I think he's easily someone who could play a human being that would convince Cal McNair that whatever he thinks is the way that an NFL team should be run.
Scientologist angle is good.
I feel like Tom Cruise would really throw himself into it. I think he would crush it as Jack Easterby. Like, I think this might be an Oscar-winning film. You laugh. I'm not kidding. I feel like Tom Cruise would be the best Jack Easterby there ever was.
We're getting a lot of...
In fact, I'd hire Tom Cruise to be Jack Easterby right now.
Kevin Rankin as Jack. I don't know if I know who Kevin Rankin is.
Off the top of my head, I do not know.
Okay, I see him. He was in Friday Night Light. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. We've gotten Jack Black as Cal McNair.
That's a great call.
Great one.
I mean, you want to have someone who can be, I think, low-key goofy. And let's be honest, Cal McNair is probably going to be the comic relief in whatever movie this is. Even if it is a serious movie about sexual misconduct allegations.
Nick Caserio. I've seen Nicolas Cage and Brendan Fraser.
Nicolas Cage. No, Nick Cage cannot be Nick Caserio. I love Nick Cage, but I also know that Nick Cage is such a hyperbolistic character that if you put him in, the movie is just going to turn into something else. Nick Cage as Jack Easterby makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Caserio, we need someone who's strong-jawed, who looks like he takes care of himself, who's great at looking like a politician. That's what I looked up, like actors who look like politicians, actors who have played politicians. Because Caserio is, I think, your archetype of politician. 100%.
We're going to continue this on the back end of this segment. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we talk about that, plus a possible overtime rule change that's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We've gotten some good ones from our question of who would play Texans front office and Deshaun Watson in movies.
Cal McNair has gotten the most range, and I could see every single...
Jack Black, Kevin from The Office.
John C. Reilly. By the way, have you watched this Lakers show on
HBO? I have not. Is it good?
It's promising. I only watched the first episode. I haven't watched the second one yet. But John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss is fantastic. Like, I buy into John C. Reilly entirely as this character. I don't know much about Jerry Buss, but John C. Reilly, I love in everything. Chris Farley, someone had texted in too, as playing Cal McNair. Totally agree. I mean, he did play Tommy Boy.
That's true.
I mean, he did. He was in the
Nick
movie
Black Sheep. Nick Caserio, we've seen Nicolas Cage, Brendan Fraser, Henry Cavill. I like Henry Cavill probably the best. Jack Easterby, Tom Cruise, and Steve Buscemi. And Deshaun Watson, we've gotten Chris Rock and Jesse Smollett.
Jesse Smollett is... See, if we're doing Chris Rock, we're literally just... We may as well do it like the... What was that television show on FX where Cuba Gooding Jr. played O.J. Simpson? It was just completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense. Yeah. Chris Rock, that's completely unbelievable. One I thought of, and I just... love Donald Glover, and I've loved Donald Glover since the days that he was doing this YouTube series called Derek Comedy. But I think Donald Glover would be pretty good as Deshaun Watson, mainly because he's just a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
But that one's tricky because you need to really, you got to bring in somebody who's just kind of low-key detestable on the outside, but also at the same time, I mean, Deshaun Watson's a good-looking guy.
Right.
So
right.
You have to balance that in some way.
There's a lot of young, like, good-looking black actors. Michael B. Jordan, good-looking young black actor.
But you're also going to have to get them to be this, like, weird creep. And I'm assuming that you're going to have a, like, massage scene, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that where the movie starts?
I think probably that's... No, I think it probably starts with Jack coming in
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tom Cruise, please.
Or it starts with the exit of Bill O'Brien, which means we have to cast Bill O'Brien.
We do have to cast Bill O'Brien. That's another one. Okay, we'll have to come back to that
We
one.
Will. Meanwhile, a couple of
Paul
NFL
Giamatti.
Teams proposing overtime changes. So the proposal from both the Eagles and the Colts is to allow both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal from the Titans, allow both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime unless the team with the first possession scores a touchdown and a successful two-point try. That's weird and very specific. Yeah.
Too gimmicky. Let's just do... Your proposal is the best one. The one that you had a couple of weeks ago where you said, just play an extra quarter.
Yeah. I just think it's really simple.
And I know the reason that they won't do it is because they think that, oh, if we play 3 or 4 extra minutes on a short week, it's going to be very difficult to play in a game. At that point...
And those guys are running on adrenaline in overtime. Like, you know what I mean? Especially if it's a playoff game.
I mean, we saw it, obviously, in that game between the Bills and the Chiefs where the defenders were running on fumes. They weren't running on anything. They were all dead at that point in the game. I say just add an extra quarter.
Right.
You know? And then I guess you can throw some just clock management into the entire array. And then people will get mad about that. Because people never get satisfied with NFL overtime.
It seems to be the thing that America can all agree needs fixing, though.
People were fine with it not that long ago, though.
Yeah.
Who was mad at sudden death about 25 years ago? Now, all of a sudden death, which was part of the game's history for the longest time. Nope, can't do that anymore. Both teams sort of get to have a possession. But now you're assuming that this other team is going to score a touchdown right away on you. Because if you win the coin toss, of course you're going to score a touchdown. My take is still, let's get rid of some of these rules that were put in place to make it so easy for receivers to get downfield. Because now quarterbacks are all mobile, they can all move, and on top of that, you can't even mess around with wide receivers downfield. Come on, like, 5-yard contact, bring it back. Why not?
Each team gets the ball, this is from a texter, 5508, says each team gets the ball at their own 25-yard line with 2 minutes on the clock. Again, I mean, it's
gimmicky, though.
Yeah,
because right. Ultimately, college overtime sucks. I think we can all agree on that. Even the little wrinkle that they threw in, it was dumb to go to like 20 overtimes, which I never did. It was usually at the most 3, 4. But to go to 2 and then to turn it into a 2-point conversion off, no, that's not going to work. The NFL offenses, I feel like if you put one at the 30-yard line or the 40-yard line, they're going to be able to kick field goals really quickly. I think you could say the same thing for even if you're at the 50-yard line. What, you only need to get about 5 yards, 6 yards, 3 runs up the middle if you have Justin Tucker or some dude with a massive leg like McPherson on Cincinnati. Game's over. Just do an extra quarter or make it so that defenders have an easier time. Because otherwise, I think we're just going to come back to it and say, like, oh, this is kind of weird. Let's change it some more. You don't want to be changing this rule every single year.
I think it was clear, too, though, that players and high-profile players didn't like it. Like, if you remember when the Bengals lost the coin flip, and they obviously ended up winning the game against Kansas City, but Josh Allen tweeted out, like, pain, period, because of how it had been the week before that. So I think the fact that you have guys, and they're always respectful about it, but when you have guys like Josh Allen, that Patrick Mahomes, that they're not going to come out and say it's stupid because they're quote-unquote classier than that, but they'll say, yeah, it determines a lot, or yeah, it comes down to who has the ball last. I think the league listens to that. They listen to the young, you know, superstar quarterbacks who notice that maybe something needs to change.
Right, and I guess these guys have a point, these quarterbacks. But I would like real proposals as opposed to, I lost, I'm sad.
Right.
Because that's essentially what they are. And, I mean, would they be feeling this way had they won? You know, I don't think so. And I don't know, every now and then, sometimes things take care of themselves in overtime. Sometimes a team screws up at the beginning of overtime. Like, remember Drew Brees not too long ago in the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, what was that? Was that the NFC Championship game? Everyone talks about, hey, oh, wow, there were, you know, the Saints got jobbed on that call. Well, Saints could have taken advantage of the first quarter of that game when Jared Goff was peeing his pants. And how about Drew Brees? Don't throw an interception at home in the playoffs in overtime.
Houston Texans social media team getting creative and cute. They tweeted out a picture of Nick Caserio on the phone and said, nothing to report yet, but Nick sent us this photo. They're getting funny.
Oh, boy.
They know. They know the hype around it. They know what's going on.
This is tricky if you're them.
Oh, 100%.
Do you celebrate trading your franchise quarterback, even if you're trading a guy that has all of this stuff that he is carrying along with him as baggage, and you're getting rid of
that
baggage?
Like when Seattle traded Russell Wilson, and they were tweeting out the Wilson,
and they deleted it.
Yeah, they should have deleted it.
They should have deleted it, because if you're in that fan base, look, there are some people still, and I understand it. I'm not going to yell at these people. There are some people who think the Texans should stick with Deshaun Watson and just say, no, you're here, you're under contract, you play for us. We signed you to that extension. We drafted you. We want you here. I understand why there are some fans like that, because you are not going to find a guy like this in it for a while, you know? And if we're just moving aside entirely from the whole, hey, move aside. I forget where I was going with that one. Move aside, though, from this is what happens.
ADHD.
When you're a little squirrel brain, sometimes this happens. But you're never going to find this guy that you've had. Your entire franchise history is proof. David Carr sucked. Offensive line, blah, 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 blah. Sure, he wasn't good. Matt Schaub had a 3-year stretch where he was a plus quarterback, but you didn't do anything before that. What, Dave Ragone in the third round? After that, you didn't do anything either. And then you got Deshaun Watson. Brock Osweiler was someone you tried, you swung, you missed. It is so hard to find a quarterback in this league, and you could be going the entire history of the Cleveland Browns since they returned to the NFL looking for that quarterback. Because guess what? That's where they're back again.
Our colleague Joel Blank says John Malkovich plays Easterby. That's a really good one. Ooh. Matthew Modine as Nick. Matthew Modine has kind of a sexiness to him. He's older, but...
Oh, yeah. Some Vision Quest Matthew Modine.
John Amos as Lovey. Will Smith as Deshaun. Will may be a little bit too old. Ned Beatty as Cal. I don't know if I know who Ned Beatty is.
What was the first name that you mentioned along the way?
John Malkovich.
Malkovich. So, look, I love John Malkovich as an actor. John Malkovich is too outwardly sinister.
Oh, Ned Beatty as Cal is a really good one.
Okay.
That's a good call if you look him up.
Okay. Well, keep them coming. We're getting some very good ones here.
I think you could
literally have anyone play Cal McNair, and it would probably work, right? I mean, you just want the guy to not talk, give him a mustache. Boom, you're good.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some meetings for Deshaun Watson, as well as what Tony Busby said about some of those depositions that he had in the civil cases. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.